I have our ushers come. We'll get page 205. 205, the first and the last verse.
As far as announcements, we do have our foundation study this evening,
And the choir practice four?
Four o'clock.
And then I read that that's youth choir practice. Youth choir, okay. Are we doing regular choir practice or just youth choir? Okay. So 4 o'clock, and then there was something here that said about that you texted out what songs it was. Okay. Do you have that?
I do.
Okay.
I forgot that one. Sorry.
Okay.
regular choir practice will take up again after youth revival.
Oh, okay. Okay. So keep that in mind. And I'm sorry, I still can't remember those dates. I know it's in April, the youth meeting.
Yeah, 16 through the 19th.
16 through the 19th, preacher Curtis Ponder. Okay, so definitely do be remembering that. There's not anything else we have right now announcement wise, is there?
I mean, the women's Bible study, this week.
Right, okay. I forgot about that. So that's Thursday, and that's at
6:30.
Okay. So all the ladies, Thursday night, 6:30. All the guys, figure out what we're going to do with the children. So, okay, so that's all our announcements. Who's got a request for prayer about the meeting? Amen. Lord, sees all these. We got a lot sick right now. Remember, Brother Matthew Johnson, he's getting over a stomach bug. Then you said he was pretty well over the worst of it. He's just kind of weak now. Okay, so remember him. Also remember Preacher Clint, Miss Megan, you and they're both sick. He called me last night, and let's see. Yeah, my mind's going to look. I know several other people were mentioned that have been sick. I know several of us are not feeling awesome, but, you know, we're here. So appreciate the Lord letting us be here anyway. Appreciate seeing Brother Charles Mysteri get to come back. Just continue to remember him. Still a little bit to go there. Just pray that God would work all that out, that he'd give help and grace. Appreciate seeing Brother Robert back this morning. We missed him for Sunday school. Appreciate the Lord letting him come be with us for preaching. Let's see, I don't know. I know the Maccabees have been kind of sick on and off. Did Ashley say anything yesterday this morning?
No, I haven't heard.
Okay, so I don't know if some of them have gotten sick or what, but just do remember them. Whatever might be going on there. Remember Keith. I know he had some stuff Friday. I don't know. But was there anything that you wanted to mention about that? Or?
No.
Okay. So just continue to remember that situation there. Lord knows what it is. Lord knows what needs to be done. So just remember them. If you would, continue to remember Miss Vivian and Preacher Billy. Lord would strengthen them and help them. Did AD and Christy have to leave? Just now that they were here.
I saw
them. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. I didn't catch that. I saw Miss Edna this morning. I didn't notice that she was okay. So whatever, don't know what's going on there, but just pray for the Lord to help them also. So many sick right now, but it's time for it. You know, we're getting into that season. I know they said Colby still was having a little bit of a rough time there with the flu and tonsillitis, and so maybe they're gonna have to take his tonsils out. Okay, so remember him and that. Yeah, usually you like to get that done when they're a little bit younger, so they're less likely to remember it. But I guess of all the things there are, it's not the worst surgery, you know, that there is. But still, I know poor Silas was pretty miserable after hers. But just do remember him. I wonder who else has got a request this morning. I want to mention that.
Remember Katie. She's been sick all week.
Oh, okay. Remember Katie. I guess has the little one done okay, staying well from it?
She has so far, but she's got a little bit of a cough and a runny nose now, but we're praying she don't get sick. She has to go back to Winston Thursday for her checkup.
Okay, so remember Lucy on that.
Thank
you
for praying for Ashley. I don't
know
if I remember. I asked you to pray for her for about a minute, but it's a meeting for them. But she had 72 genetic tests and they thought, I don't know. I don't think it was supposed to be that, not me. But she didn't hide anything. But she had some issues, you know, with the little cysts that they said could be genetically involved with a cancer probability. It wasn't.
Amen.
And, others that they had thought about that it could be genetically confirmed, and there was nothing genetically based on.
Amen. Speaking of genetics, do you remember little Ed? He's, I mean, I can't believe it's fine, but he's not growing weight-wise like the doctor wants him to. I feel like he eats all the time. I don't know. Like, he eats all the time, and he still just doesn't gain any weight. I don't know where he got that from. but just pray the Lord to help him with that. And, you know, he's been having, you know, some of his skin problems, too, and the Lord may have, where we're not sure yet, but we may have gotten a lead on what that might be. So just pray that the Lord take care of that. And in that regard, remember Miss Stephanie. I think Richard Stoney mentioned this morning, she's been having some of the pregnancy symptoms. And we got to learn that same lesson. You know, it's not when you're mid-30s, it ain't the same as when you're in your mid-20s. It's like a whole different ballgame there. And then I thought about Sarah, you know, like Abraham and Sarah, and I was like, no. Yeah. So,
we were clean the first time she got pregnant.
Yeah.
When one Parker was born, so you know, it's a not smart kid.
Yeah.
And you know, and then Cambry, you know, when she had Cambry, she was all into fitness and running, and she would go run like miles, you know, and so like she was in good shape. And then, you know, just like I told her, and then like shortly thereafter, you know, she had Tyler, because they're pretty close in age.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like her body had a good baby workout in it, you know? And she was like prepared. It's been like, you know, 8 years. six or 7 years to have her on. And yeah, so 7 years.
I don't know why. I think Christina did bit better on the later ones, especially on Hannah. She didn't go running when she had Hannah. She'd run by McDonald's and got a double cheeseburger every day. Be surprised what happens if you eat a double cheeseburger and drink a large sweet tea every day. That's what you can do with Ed. Underize that thing. All right, let's all go pray. Smart this morning. He's preaching for her brother Cliff. You know, he could come preach for us one time over at Peter Smart's prayer, right?
Yes.
Yes, it's Smart's prayer. Yeah, so just remember that this morning.
Opportunity if you're going to be back here fighting with us and
you wanted to answer, if you just want to come in and sit and listen, that's fine too. We always have folks that do that. And you don't have to answer, you can just come in and sit and just be a part of it. But the question is, what is God's design for romance? And we are going to keep it PG, folks, because we have little ones and stuff here. And so, you know, we ain't going to, you know, really get into any kind of details like that. But in any case, what is God's design for romance? And, you know, that can mean just simply, Preacher Matthew would ask me, you know, how do you define romance? I'm like, I ain't going to, you know. That's what I'm saying. Whatever the Lord shows you in His Word, that's what I want to hear from you about. And, you know, we had Valentine's Day. You know, we know this, right? Any of us that have, you know, been Christians for long, even if we don't have the words or the definitions, we can clearly see that this world's design for romance is not God's design.
Right, amen.
And that's not God's intention.
Right.
And so, I want you to not just say, well, I know this ain't right, but what is right? Look at God's Word and see what is right. You know, the Bible says our heart is deceitful and wicked above anything else.
Yeah.
The world tells you, trust your heart, follow your heart. Bible says, don't follow your heart, it's wicked.
Yeah.
Right.
Follow the Word of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know, God's got something. Romance is a beautiful gift that God's given us, and He's got a design for it. Yeah. We need to discover that, especially young folks that are not married yet. You need to be looking at that and discover that and see the beauty of it for yourself and the reward of it and do it according to God's will that you would never have the regrets. All right. Let's see. Was there anything else? What's the next dinner we're having?
Usually after the youth revival on Saturday,
that Saturday. Okay, yeah. I told you to remind me of something.
It's a meeting somewhere or another.
That's right. Yes, I remember. All I can remember was I told Keith to remind me. I couldn't remember what it was. There's two this week. So, Richard Robert Ash is having his, I believe it's starting tonight, at Fellowship Baptist Church over in Conley Springs. Preacher Landon Rice used to be over there some years ago, but Robert Ash pastors there. Now, we've been over there before as a church, but he's having their Bible conference this week. And I forget who all's preaching, but I think it's going on through Thursday night. And I think Wednesday morning and Thursday morning, I believe it is, or Tuesday and Wednesday. I can't remember. They're having morning services. But then on Friday and Saturday, and I want you to come to this, they're having a youth meeting at Amy's Chapel, and I remember it's at 7, or it was at 6:30. Does anybody remember that?
One night at 7, I believe, the other one's at 6, maybe. I think the one at Saturday,
okay.
And I think they said they're serving food after, I believe.
Okay. So it's Friday at 6, and Friday at 7 and Saturday at 6.
I think
Yeah, and they said they had Preacher Billy Avey preaching one night and Preacher Peyton Bryant preaching one night. That's Avey's Chapel up here on the mountain. So if y'all can, try to come to that. And remember Robert Ash meeting, and if you make it to that, make it to that also. But just be praying for both of them meetings going on. All right, I think that's all I had. Does anybody got a special song I want to sing before we get started? Amen.
Thank you.
Well, if you have your Bible, just turn the book of Romans in chapter number one. Romans in chapter number one. Verse number 18 of Romans chapter 1. The Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. But when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image, made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things." Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, God, that you'd add your blessing to the reading of it, and Lord, that you'd just preach through me now, Lord, the word that you'd have us to hear, bring conviction to our hearts, and edify us, grow us, Lord, in your word. And be glorified. May the name of Jesus be exalted and lifted up here this morning. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Now, going off of this right here, this is Paul's letter to the church in Rome. And he's writing to the Christians that are there and they are practicing Christianity within Rome. They have also had issues among them, but one of which is that, you know, they had come from a system, a society that worshiped many gods. You've heard of the Roman gods, you know, Zeus and Hades and all the different ones, and they had, you know, goddesses of this, gods of that, gods of war, gods of the crops, and gods of the thunder and the love and different things. And they had all these different gods and goddesses that they worshiped, and they like to bring that philosophy into everything, and many of them including Christianity. And even though they were Christian, they were also still trying to practice some of those things that they had done from their old life and bring that into what they were doing. And so he is trying to correct that, and he has a desire to come to them. And he just got through telling us right before what we just read, and I want to read in verse 16, he says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." He says, "For therein," listen to this, "is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." He says that the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel, in having faith in the sacrifice that God has provided. Amen. He says, and the righteousness of God is revealed to us in seeing that God is righteous to save. I was talking about this, you know, me and Preacher Clint was talking last night, and was talking about how that, you know, whenever, you know, if we're not willing to see our own faults, then we're quick to judge others, right? Matter of fact, it's impossible to have grace for somebody else unless you can see your own faults.
Yeah.
You know, the more you can see your own faults, the more grace you have for other people. Ain't that true? Whenever you don't see your own faults and you don't see how just wicked and sinful you are, then you're quick to judge everybody and their brother. You know, they do this, and he says this, and she says this, and they done this. But whenever we can look at ourselves, you know, I always say the worst sinner I know is me, because nobody knows me as good as me. You know what I mean? I don't know you as good as I do me. And I might can see a few things that somebody else can do, or this person or that person. But I know everything that I do and think and say, right?
Yeah.
And you do the same. Guess what? The worst sinner you know is you, whether you like to admit it or not. That's just a fact.
Amen.
You know why? Because you know you better than you do anybody else. And guess what, honey? You are a sinner.
Yeah.
You have your faults. But you know what? You know what amazes me? Is that me in my corruptible, mortal, finite mind, that the only time I'm able to have grace for other people is when I'm able to see just how wicked and depraved I am. And think, you know what? I know that they're doing something that I wouldn't do. But look at all the things that I think and the ways I am, the ways I feel.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
I'm just pray for.
Yes.
And so it takes me being at fault. It takes me being guilty in order to have grace for somebody else. But think about this. God in his righteousness was without sin and was perfect, and yet still he's had grace for you and I.
Yes.
Now that's an amazing thing. The righteousness of God was revealed from heaven. He says it's revealed from faith to faith. It's not the faith of the Old Testament, it's the faith of the New Testament. Jesus said in John chapter 8, he said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He was glad when he saw it.
Yep.
When did he see his day? He seen his day when God provided himself a sacrifice.
Amen.
Just as Abraham told Isaac that he would. He said, my son, God will provide himself a sacrifice.
Amen.
And he said, and he had faith and confidence in the righteousness of God. He had faith in the mercy of God. He had faith in the grace of God. Noah, the Bible said, received grace in the eyes of God. He found grace in the eyes of God. And God saved Noah. When he built that ark, how did he do it? He done it by faith.
Yeah.
Amen? The Bible says that Rahab, the harlot, that she was saved by what?
Faith.
By faith.
Yes.
She trusted the Lord. She said, the God of the Israelites is going to be my God. Hey, we read over in the book of Ruth how that Ruth, she was saved by faith because she said, Naomi, your God is going to be my God. And guess what she said? She said, I want to go with you. You know, people say this a lot of times. They say, well, why was Naomi down there? Where, you know, she shouldn't have been there. Hey, listen, Naomi was being a good wife. She's following her husband.
Yes.
And you know, she went down there. She lost her husband. She lost her sons. She was all alone. She had her daughter-in-law. But Naomi must have undoubtedly had a good testimony. Because Ruth didn't say, I want to serve the God of my husband, the God of my father-in-law. She said, Naomi, I want to serve your God.
Yeah.
She said, your God's going to be my God. She said, because I see the difference it's made in your life. And so Naomi had a good testimony. She trusted God. And she had faith. And she was justified the same way that you and I are justified, not by what we do, but by who Jesus is. It's not about of what, it's about who. Right? That is Jesus Christ. And so we see the righteousness of God is revealed. That means it's made known to us. It's something that was invisible to us before. But now we can see it because we can experience it through faith in Jesus Christ. We can see the righteousness of God, whereas before it was hidden. But as someone who has had the gospel into our life, the Bible says the gospel, the good news, is the power of God unto salvation. The fact that Jesus came born unto a virgin and was without sin his entire life and was still willing to go to the cross for me and you and for our sins, that even though we be sinners and we're vile and we're failures, we can be saved, we can be counted as righteous in the eyes of God because he has covered us with his righteousness. He has replaced our sinfulness for his righteousness.
Yes.
And so we can be saved if we trust in him. The righteousness of God is revealed to you and I through the gospel of Jesus Christ by having faith in what he's done. The Bible also says this, that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. It says that they hold the truth in unrighteousness, meaning that he's talking about those who receive the gospel. He's talking about those who hear the gospel preached, and yet they ignore it, yet they try to excuse themselves from it.
Yeah.
They try to claim some sort of false interpretation on the word of God. Dalton was telling a story. He said that he had some friends, and they had a friend that's homosexual, and the friend claimed that, you know, if God
If you're a Christian, then you should approve of their lifestyle. And Dalton said that he told him, he said, look, this is what the Bible says. And he read to him out of Leviticus, and he read to him from Romans 1, this very chapter, how that the Bible tells us that those that practice unnatural affection, homosexuality, that they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God, that was not God's design for mankind. And he told them that. They said, well, you've misinterpreted that. They said, you know, this is, we looked at an article, and that's not the way it is. You know, it means something. They don't mean what you think. Hey, the Bible says that the Scripture is open to no private interpretation. Right. You know what that means? It means this. It means that all Scripture must be interpreted using other Scripture. That's what that means. You cannot take one Bible verse and just say, well, I think it means this, and so-and-so says, I think it means this. That's why the Bible says what Glenn read this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Study to show thyself approved. Glenn, you know this verse, don't you?
What?
This is the verse your daddy, you said that you know that it says a workman.
Yeah.
Yeah. It says a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. That comes from studying the Word of God.
Yeah.
That comes from getting in the Word and being able to discern the Word by being able to interpret the Word according to the Word. Amen?
Yep.
And so we see that. And so there's many that have the truth, but they'll excuse themselves from the truth. They'll claim some sort of misinterpretation or whatever it is, because they want to excuse themselves from that truth. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, in chapter number 10, let me flip over there real quick and read this. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, the Bible says this, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful, looking for of judgment and fiery indignation that shall devour the adversaries.
Yes.
Listen to what it says here. It says, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, should he be thought worthy of, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God,
yes,
and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing,
yes,
and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
Yes.
Hey, we need to realize and be reminded this day and hour that God's power has not diminished.
Amen.
He has not lost one bit of it. And guess what? He is still righteous not only to deliver, but he is righteous to judge.
Yes.
Amen? And to give judgment. And we talked about the other week, the Bible says, do not be deceived. We read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Bible says, do not be deceived. It says, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor the effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor greedy, they said they will not inherit the kingdom of God. It said that, you know, if they're living a lifestyle of sin, we see that. And the Bible tells us here that if we receive the knowledge of the truth and continue to stay in a sinful lifestyle and to continue to embrace sin and to embrace that and not to combat that, like I mentioned before, you know, obviously, we just talked about this, we all have our failures, right?
Yes.
And we're all going to have those things. But as a Christian, if you've been given the Holy Ghost and the renewing of the mind, then now you have been empowered to combat those things.
Yes.
To be able,
yes,
to fight and war against those things. The Bible says that the flesh wars against the Spirit. Amen? And so we've got to nurture the Spirit,
yes,
of God. And we've got to embrace God's Word and God's will. And a lot of times we've got to turn them things over to God. Instead of just saying, well, one of these days I'll get this straightened out. We think that a lot. We do.
Yeah.
We think that a lot. You know why? Because it's our pride.
Yeah.
We need to let go of those things and say, turn it over to God and say, God, get this out of my life. Arrest these things in my life and recognize it for what it is. It's sin.
Amen.
Don't make an excuse for it.
Right.
Don't try to cover it. Don't try to hide it or to give it some other little name or to try to diminish it. But just acknowledge it before God and say, God, it is sin. It's exactly what it is. whether it be pride, whether it be arrogance, whether it be something that you're doing in your life or you plan to do in your life, or whatever it is that you know that God does not want for you, but yet you've continued to do it.
Yes.
He says, get it out, expel it from your life. He says, this, if we continue with it, he says, there's nothing else that can sacrifice for that. He said, Jesus paid the price for sin that you might repent. That means to turn away from sin.
Yes.
Not that what you're doing can justify you, but that the act of repentance is evidence that the Spirit of God has come into your heart and life.
Yes.
He says this, he says, that those that despised Moses' law, they died without mercy under two or three witnesses. I think about these folks that curse God and that hate God, that have heard the gospel. These people that's lived in America, they've stood out there and they've been brought to church, and you know they, the people's witnessed to them and told them about God. And they claim to hate God. They claim that they're atheists, and they claim all these things. And you know, I've seen them hold up signs that if Jesus would come back, we'd crucify him again. No, you wouldn't. Because he's not coming back as a sacrifice. He's
That's
not
right.
coming back as a servant. He's not coming back as a baby. He's coming back as a conquering king, buddy.
Amen.
The Bible says every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess. It's going to be too late.
Amen.
It is absolutely going to be too late. I'm talking about he's going to come back. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. He's going to dash kingdoms in pieces. You say, well, it sounds like that's going to be violent. Yeah, it's going to be violent.
Yeah.
It's going to be the most violent thing you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
There's going to be people that are slain and killed. There's going to be people that are just dropped dead. Matter of fact, the Bible says that there's people that literally, that their faces melt off whenever he comes back.
Yeah.
Those that are occupying Israel, when he comes back, like the armies that are there, they're literally just going to be consumed away.
Yeah.
By his presence. It's not going to be like a Marvel movie where the villain and the hero have this great big epic battle. I mean, it's just going to be his presence is going to come, and the enemy is going to completely, absolutely be overtaken instantly.
Yes, yes.
And you know what we're going to do? We're going to rejoice.
Yes.
We're going to be glad in it. I want you to consider this. Have y'all followed any at all, you know, the stuff that's going on between Israel and Hamas, you know? And y'all remember the October 7th attack?
Yeah.
You remember that? They was killing children, raping women, doing all kinds of this heinous things, laughing about it, videoing all this stuff, and they just celebrate it. And you don't get this stuff in the mainstream media, but it happened.
Yes.
They take all these hostages, they claim they're going to get back hostages, they're sending them back in caskets, they're dead, they got little babies, they got a mom and two little babies, they had a woman that's about a year and a half year old, one wasn't even a year old, they'd slain and killed and murdered them babies and put them in a casket. And sent them back and said, here's your hostages back. And they, here's the keys. Give them the wrong set of keys. They had to pry open the caskets just to be able to get the bodies of those that they killed. Let me tell you something. It ain't even enough for me to just bomb them people. If I was president, I promise you, with everything in me, I would level all Palestine. You know why? Because there ain't nothing good ever going to come out of that place. Hey, that's what God told them to do in the Old Testament when they went to war with people like that.
Yeah.
He said, you just get rid of them all. He said, wipe out the whole race. He said, there's nothing good ever going to come from them. As a matter of fact, if they would have been obedient and got rid of Edom,
yeah,
like they were supposed to, then it wouldn't be a problem right now. You realize that, don't you?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not just speaking. I'm not talking out of the back of my head. This is Bible. Amen. All right? But now, in any case, that wouldn't be enough for me to satisfy. I mean, it wouldn't satisfy you anyway. Because when those people die, they celebrate. That is a culture of death.
Yes.
And those people, they celebrate if they think that they're going to paradise. And when one of their sons and one of their daughters die, or whatever case is, they celebrate. They have feasts and everything else because they think that guarantees them a place in paradise. You know what would satisfy me? I say, Lord, come back quickly. I say, Lord, come back. You know why? Because when he comes back and he gives judgment, there'll not be no celebrating. The Bible says every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of the glory of God. Hey, I want to say it's them that's been the enemies of God's people. Whenever he shows them which side they were on. The Bible says that the dead judge of the righteous shall rejoice and wash their feet in the blood of the wicked.
Yes.
I want to say this, whenever I see them people that's murdered them babies, and they gloried in it and celebrated it, and they shouted and they showed videos of it, of them assassinating and cutting people's heads off and raping women and doing all the heinous wickedness they've done, when I see them screaming in the depths of hell, I will, I'll bucks its little head up.
Yes.
And wants to have its way.
Yeah.
And wants to try to nudge God out. Mm-hmm. And wants to try to nudge and get its own way. You know, it's just constantly war and constantly fighting. And I have to arrest it. I have to control it. I have
yes.
to beat it down. I have to pick up that cross daily.
Yes.
And crucify that flesh.
Yes. Yes,
sir.
Nail that thing down. And to get that thing under submission of the Holy Ghost. Ah, Satan's not divided against Satan. I don't war against myself. I war against the Spirit. Right?
Yeah.
But that which God saved, put His Spirit in me, I have to allow it to bring into submission that part of me, that natural part of me that remains, that is contrary to what is good for me.
Amen.
And what God's design for me is. And so whenever we read this, it says that those that despise Moses' law said they died without mercy and are two or three witnesses. How much sore punishment suppose you should be thought worthy of who have trodden underfoot the Son of God, and on account of the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and they done all this despite unto the Spirit of grace. He said, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the God. Hey, God is a God of deliverance. He is. Thank God for that. Hey, I'm glad He's a God of mercy. Oh, my, I'm glad that He is a God of grace, but He is a God of judgment. Amen?
Yes.
And we agree on that, that He is Amen. A God of judgment, and that His judgment is just. Amen? And we agree that His judgment is good. Hey, that I have no problem with God judging wickedness
yes.
and sinners in this world. One day it's going to happen, and we're all going to glorify God for it. Why? Because He is just to do so.
Amen.
Going back to where we was at in Romans 1, it said that it says this. It says that the wrath of God's revealed against those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, like I said, we're going to glory in the fact that God brings judgment against those that hate His people. What about this? All them people that's heard the word of God and rejected it and despised it. How many of you know somebody that was raised in church? They know better, but they don't have any desire to go to church, to be around church, or go to God, or go to the house of God or anything else now. They hold the truth and unrighteousness. You know, I was like that at one point in time. If you've got a loved one that's like that, I pray that you don't just give up, have faith. With men, things seem impossible, but with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
I remember one time I asked my grandfather. I asked Papa open up. I said, Papa, he said he'd prayed and asked God to give him a grandson, and that God would call him to preach. And I said, well, Papa, I said, did you not doubt? I said, when I was a teenager and I was rough, and I said, I was living like hell, and I said, I was running wild. I said, did you not doubt? He said, well, he said, if my faith would have been in you, I sure would have. He said, but if my faith would have been in you. He said, my faith was in the Lord.
Amen.
He said, and I knew that God was able to overcome all that. And I said, man. And that's, you know, and I look back at that, and I hear these stories all the time about somebody's got love for somebody that, you know, they're just, they say, I don't know if there's any hope for them. Hey, listen, the hope ain't in them anyway, friend.
Yeah.
It's in God.
Amen.
If he takes, this is the problem. We always say, God, if God could, look at what God could do with your life. If you do this, look at what God could do with your life. If you be more obedient, look at what God can do with you. It ain't about what He could do. Of course He can.
Yeah.
It's about what He would do.
Yeah.
Amen. It's not about if God could save them. Of course He can. It's about He would. And all that's going to take is us just trusting. He said, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you'd move mountains. What does that mean? It means trusting God. But we like to do things ourselves. We like to try to intervene. We like to try to put our hand to the ark instead. There's no need for that.
Yes.
Amen. Leave it up to the Lord. Trust Him and pray. And just be obedient. But the Bible tells us here that there's those that hold the truth in unrighteousness. It says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they were without excuse. Guess what? And there's no such thing as atheists. That's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
These people that hate God, but one way or the other, they are never in their heart going to completely be able to extinguish the fact that there is no God. And guess what? If they ever do, then the Bible says that's called something called a reprobate.
Yes.
Okay? And guess what? It ain't because they achieved that on their own.
Right.
The Bible says God turned them over.
Yes.
They get to a certain point, God turns them over and says, you know what? The Bible says that, let me just read that to you. It says this. It says, and in verse 28 of Romans 1, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate minds to do those things which are not convenient.
Yes.
So they don't even like to retain God in their knowledge. They get to a point where they say, Lord, God, I wish you just leave me alone. I don't even want to have no conviction. That's what sinners want. They just want to be left alone. That's what homosexuals want. That's what all those people want. They just want to be left alone. They want to be accepted. And eventually there comes a point when God says, okay, if that's what you want, I'll just give it to you. But this is the thing. The Bible says there's no such thing as babies. That's what it's telling us here. It says, without excuse. It says that it's clearly seen through the creation itself that there is a God. And the order of the way that everything in the natural world works, and the order that God gives everything, that there's intelligent design behind it, it's clearly seen. Anybody who says they're atheist is a liar. By the very nature of them saying that. What they are is they're someone who despises God, they despise His authority, and guess what? That's natural. You know why? Because all of us do that. And this is the thing to remember this, that Paul is writing to the church. He's writing to the church there in Rome, and he's giving them a stern warning. And the warning is this, is that as Christians, we need to be careful that we're not taking up that mentality, that ideology, that we can somehow deny God's power, God's sovereignty, God's rule, God's mastery in our own lives. And that we would be careful not to try to twist things to such a point to where that we would do things in worshiping God and living our lives according to our own will rather than that of God's will. Why? Because this is what the Bible says, and this is what I want to get to this morning, and I'm about done. I'm going to get to this, and I'm about done. The Bible says this. It says, because that when they knew God, verse 21 of Romans chapter 1, because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now I want you to consider this. This is what happens when we allow sin, when we diminish sin's power of life, when we would deny the fact that sin has a hold of life, and never would say, well, that's not me. Well, that's not something I have to worry about. I got it under control. That's what we think a lot of times. But whenever we do that, the Bible says this, that sin is not something that comes from God. Temptation is not something that comes from God. In the book of James in chapter 1, it's put this way. It says this. It says, let me just read verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man.
Right.
Whenever you're tempted, it's not God's fault.
Right.
It says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, that means just like a woman conceives, it says that it bringeth forth sin. That is the product of lust. And it says, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death.
Amen.
That lust, that means desire, the things that God does not want in your life, it brings forth sin. You say, well, you think that just because you want something you ain't supposed to want, that long as you don't do it, or long as you just don't go and have it, that it's going to be okay. The Bible says you better be careful on the grounds you're walking on.
Yes.
Why? Because whenever you allow lust to continue in your life and you do not arrest that and turn that over to God, whatever it is, whether it's lust of the flesh, the opposite sex, whether it's lust over money and greed, whether it's lust over just doing whatever your will is rather than God's will, there's things that you prioritize over serving God. That's all lust of eyes of this world. And whenever you allow those things to continue to stay in your life, it will bring forth sin.
Right.
It's going to happen.
Right.
It's going to happen. It is the seed that is sown that grows sin and brings death and destruction and chaos into our lives. Now, in Romans 1, the Bible says this. It says that even though we know God, we glorify him not as God. It says that neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And so we see this, that there's many that would say that they're Christian. The Bible warns us about this. It says they have the form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Of such turn away. The Bible warns us about this, about false teachers. The Bible says that Satan masquerades as an angel of light. His followers would present themselves as preachers of righteousness. Yeah. The Bible warns us over and over and over again to be careful and be not deceived that people who live a lifestyle of sin are not going to the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said this. He said, be careful. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, is going to heaven. He said, but he that doeth the will of my Father. He says, we're constantly warned over and over and over about this, that we should repent and turn away from sinful lust. We should turn those things over to God and get those things under arrest, arrested by the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
And he says this. He says, those that practice these things and became vain imaginations, it says, their foolish heart was darkened, meaning that it was dim, that there was no light in it, that they was not able to see. That's what it means. That what happens in the dark, you can't see, right?
Right.
How many of you know somebody that gets in a relationship, a bad relationship, and then two people start sleeping together? And the relationship's not good. And everybody can see it. And you can tell them that until you're blue in the face, but they ain't gonna listen to you. They're going to keep right on. You know, so let me tell you, young boys and girls, yes, you won't have that when you're sleeping together. There's a reason for that. You know, let me tell you why. I'm going to give you a little prelude tonight, okay? God only intended for you to ever have one partner in your life.
Yes.
And there's a reason that whenever that happens, there's this attachment, this bond that forms.
Yes.
That if it's separated, then it feels like you've lost a part of yourself.
Yes.
And that was God's designed intention. And it's hurtful and it's painful. Okay? But it was never God's intention for you. His intention was for you to have somebody and to be with them the rest of your life. Okay?
Yeah.
And so you remember that. And remember this, that things are much more simpler when you do things God's way. You will not get into all the complicated dramas that all the other teenage friends and all the other young people that you know that they're going through just by simply being abstinent and following the Word of God. Amen?
Yeah.
It is good. It is profitable.
Yes.
You will experience a blessing from doing that. I don't care what anybody else is doing, what everybody else is doing, but how many of you know somebody like that? You've known somebody that's got, that they've dated somebody, or they've dated somebody, and the relationship's no good, but they won't listen to you. You ever grew up and had a friend like that, or know somebody like that? Or how many of you know somebody that's an alcoholic, or they're an addict, and you try to tell them to a little place, and everybody around them can see this destroying their life, but they can't see it. The one that's in that can't see it. You know what's happened? They've been darkened.
Yeah.
Their foolish heart's been darkened. You say, well, preacher, that's not nice to say. I bet I'm not the one that said that's what the Bible says.
Yes.
And guess what? It can happen to me and you too.
Yes, yes.
We can have our conscience seared.
Yes.
If we practice, if we've got some sort of sin, some sort of lust, something that we're desiring that's not God's will for our life, and it don't have to be anything that's extremely wicked. It can just be the simple fact that I relate myself to Esau a lot of times. You know what Esau done that was so wicked to begin with? Can anybody tell me here what the first wicked thing he done was that got him set on the wrong path?
Despised
the birthright. But what happened? What was the event that happened? You know what happened? I'll tell you what happened. He was too interested in hunting.
Yeah.
He'd been out there so long in the woods chasing after a deer.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing. He's a deer hunter. He had his bow and his arrow. And he's out there in the woods. He was chasing after a deer so long. And he went so hard at it. Guess what? God wasn't blessing him that day. God decided that day that he wasn't going to bless Esau in his endeavors to hunt. And he tried so hard, put so much into it, and he wouldn't give up on the fact that God wasn't in it. So he went out there and he just went to the point where he came back in, and Jacob is there making some stew, and he says, hey, I want some of that. He says, I'm about to die. I mean, I don't know how bad a shape he was in, but he claims that he was about to die.
Yeah.
That's what Esau said. But the point is that he had took something that was his interest. Something, as a matter of fact, the Bible said that he was good at. That he was good at. That he was really good at this. And so we know that it wasn't his fault that he wasn't killed in the year, right?
Yeah.
But it was in the Lord's hands.
Yeah.
And I believe the Lord had design in that, right? Because he told Rebecca that the older should serve the younger, but that's because he already was able to see
right.
that Esau had things in his life that's more important to him than God.
Yeah.
And so I relate myself to that because I love deer hunting. And I've done that many times in my life. Many times in my life. I just get so into deer hunter or things like that that I just, you know, I end up prioritizing that above what I need to be doing for God. You say, well, preacher, that's awful nothing, and that you do the same stuff.
Yeah.
Be honest with yourself. Come back, be honest with me. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God.
Right.
And you know what I have to do when I get like that? I have to bring that before God and say, God, get this out of my system.
Yeah.
God, arrest my heart and get my heart where it needs to be. Because there's no satisfaction in sitting in the tree stand seeing nothing. And if I was to get a tin pour on the ground, there's no satisfaction if I'm doing it outside of your will.
Right.
The satisfaction is being in the will of God.
Yeah.
And so even whenever it's not something that's just overly sinful, it can still be sinful even when it's something that we're going after and chasing after that's outside of the will of God. And we become darkened.
Yeah.
And we can't see it ourselves. Others around us can see it, but we can't see it ourselves. We can get into some destructive behaviors and attitudes if we allow it to go on. The Bible says this, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I know plenty of people. This is every excuse and every little clever thing to say about why they don't go to church. They think they're so wise. They think that they're so smart. You know, a lot of people, I'm just being honest with you, there's a lot of people that thinks that we're just simple-minded. There's people in this community, there's people you work with, there's people that you know and care about, that think that we're just simple-minded. That's why we go to church. That's why we have to be here. That's why we need God. They think they're wiser than we are.
Yeah.
But they become foolish in that. Mm-hmm. Guess what? As a Christian, you can become foolish in your heart too. And I can.
Yes.
We all can. You know where it starts? It starts by saying, no, God, don't come into this space. Mm-hmm. I think I'll leave this just like it is. Mm-hmm. Guess what? God wants to invade every single space in your life.
Yes.
And a lot of times we're missing out on so much blessing in our life because we won't allow him in.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want to hold on to that thing that we think we want to keep. We want to hold on to that thing that we think is going to benefit us somehow. Or we won't turn it over to God. I'd like for you to bow our heads this morning all over the house. And whatever that thing is in your life, I'd like to invite you this morning to come and turn it over to God. Say, Lord, just arrest every part of my being, every part of my life. Don't even try to fight it yourself. Don't say, well, I'm going to start to move. Turn it over to God. Leave it in his hands. God is a God of righteousness, mercy, and grace. Deliverance, but he's also a God of wrath and vengeance. I want to ask you this morning, if there's somebody here and God has spoke to your heart this morning and showed you that you need to be saved. He showed you that his wrath is still abiding in your life because you are a sinner, because you have sinned, because you have went against God. You know that there's no way you can reverse that. But he has paid the price that you could be forgiven, delivered, and made righteous by his bloodshed on Calvary's cross. Why don't you come this morning and say, Lord, save me. And put your faith in him. Repent and turn from your sinful ways. And begin to trust God. Receive the eternal gift of salvation this morning. Become a child of the King forever and ever more. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, God, for loving us and, Lord, just giving us your word to live by, God. I thank you, Lord, for forgiving us, not just the one time, but every single day, and having mercy on us. I pray, God, you would sanctify me, sanctify all of us that are here this morning, God, that are believers, that know you. I pray, God, that you work in our hearts and our lives, God, that we'd live a life and glorify you. Lord, that you might extinguish lust in our hearts. Lord, that you would banish sinful attitudes, characters, and ways from our lives, God. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to arrest, God, that you would arrest any bad behavior or attitude that we might have. God, that you bring it under submission, the Holy Ghost, God, that you might rule, that you might reign completely and totally in our lives, God, and be glorified in it. I thank you, Lord, for loving us and having mercy on us. Continue to have mercy on us, for we fail you. God, that you might work, grow us, Lord, that the burden for growing in you, and according to your word, would not diminish nor faint. God, that we would see it, that we would see ourselves for who we are, that we would see you for who you are, that we might glory in you and not in ourselves. We thank you for loving us, being good to us. Bless each and every one here, or the ones that's been sick, and the one they want to hear it be here. I pray that you would, Lord, watch over them, heal them, and help them. Thank you, Lord, for helping those that have been sick. Thank you, Lord, for helping Miss Vivian, for helping Brother Charles. I pray that you continue to help those that are healing from different things. Lord, that you help us all to love and pray for one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, Lord willing, I'll see you back here 4 or 5. You're liberty to go.